Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And you're listening to Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to the show that looks at absolutely everything under the sun.
Particularly the bits to do with life and death and sex.
Later in the show, we'll be asking, is there a place for sex on the television?
Or is it just too uncomfortable and should you stick to the sofa? We'll be examining a shock new report on numeracy, which suggests that 63% of the population can't do simple arithmetic.
Although, fortunately, both Sue and I belong to the 58% who can.
And on National Make-A-Wish Day, we'll be paying our last respects to Bernard Manning.
But first... Thank you, but first, you may have noticed an air of friendly rivalry in the studio today.
No. Why would that be, Mike?
Well, come on, Sue. Everyone knows that we've both been nominated for the coveted TV Now magazine Best Presenter Open Brackets Talk Oblique Stroke Lifestyle Show Close Brackets Award.
Oh, that.
But we're not going to let it affect our professional relationship or our friendship, are we?
Which is going to remain strictly professional.
Exactly.
Now, our first topic
because
today...
Because it doesn't matter, does it? It's only an award. It would be an honour, of course, and if I do happen to win... I'll see it as an award for both of us.
How generous.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that by the same token, if you win, Sue... You...
Our first topic today is homes and houses. For example, taking that all-important first step towards buying.
Right, Mr. Lloyd, I've got your mortgage application form here.
How does it look?
Just one or two supplementary questions I want to ask you. Do you smoke?
Yes, actually, I must admit I do.
Good, because I'm gasping for one. Come on, let's have one.
Oh, right, yeah, of course. Yeah. I think I'll join you.
Yep, what do you think you're doing?
Well, I'm just having
a... No. This is a no-smoking office.
But you're smoking.
It's my office.
That's not fair.
I'm sorry, do you want this mortgage or not?
Yeah, but...
Well?
I'm sorry.
That's better. Now, Mr. Lloyd, are you now or have you ever been a practicing homosexual?
I beg your pardon?
Simple enough question, Mr. Lloyd. Are you or have you ever been a homosexual?
No.
Ever?
Never.
May I just remind you, Mr. Lloyd, that supplying any false information will result in your mortgage application being refused.
Well... At school, in the dormitory, after lights out, and there was me and this other boy, and we used to...
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd, I think I get the picture.
Yeah, nothing more than that.
I really don't care what it was. It's completely irrelevant to the business at hand.
So why did you ask?
Just interested. Now, how's your general health?
Oh, I really don't know.
Or could you, for example, drop and give me 20?
What?
Drop and give me 20, you worm! Excellent. Well, I'm delighted to tell you, Mr. Lloyd, that you appear to fulfill all the necessary criteria we look for in a borrower. You're gullible, credulous, easily manipulated, and desperate.
Does that mean I get the money?
Indeed it does, Mr. Lloyd.
So can I stop doing this now?
Not quite yet. Only another 25 years to go.
When you've bought your house, decorated it in your own individual style, and filled it with lots of lovely hand-picked furniture, at last you can finally say to yourself,
actually, I wish I'd bought that other place instead.
Yes, it's a common predicament, but Mike, you've found a solution, haven't you?
That's right, Sue, because I discovered that in my case, it wasn't the house itself which was the problem, but its general aura, which is where Feng Shui came in. A 30-minute consultation and the check for £2,000 later, I finally had a house which felt like a home.
But is Feng Shui just a load... of new-age mumbo-jumbo disguised as a real breakthrough in interior design.
Or isn't it? To help us find the answer, let's meet today's studio guest. He is what's known as a Feng Shui master, an expert in Oriental spirituality and ancient Japanese wisdom which come together in the timeless Eastern art of Feng Shui. Please welcome to the studio...
All the way from Fulham.
Please welcome David Tudor.
Hello, Sue. You know, I always wanted to meet you.
Pleased to meet you.
Hello again, David.
Have we met before?
Yes, you feng shuied my house a couple of weeks ago. And I must say, I feel much more vital, full of positivity and inner health.
Good. I must say, Sue, you're even more beautiful than I imagined.
Well, now, you're here to tell us about feng shui.
Oh, deliciously fragrant.
And David, you know, a lot of skeptics think they can get a cheap laugh by pretending that feng shui is just something to do with moving the furniture around. But there's much more to it than that, isn't there?
Well, of course. It's about maximizing positive energy by realigning domestic items within a space.
Or, in layman's terms, moving the furniture around.
No, David's kindly agreed to feng shui the studio. So, David, feng shui away.
Right. Well, starting with you, Mike. I'm getting a lot of negative energy off you at the moment.
You mean I'm not properly aligned to the parallel energy fields in the studio?
No, I mean you're a malign influence on this whole environment, so... I'm going to have to ask you to leave the studio.
Well, obviously, I can't do that. I mean, we're live on the air.
Would you want me to do this or not?
No, yes, of course.
Well, off you go, then.
Well, obviously, I'm exerting a very powerful spiritual presence, which can't be contained by the physical limits of the studio.
Mike?
Now, Sue, that leaves just you and me. Here, together, generating our own force fields.
Right.
Now we're going to unify our combined energy. How does that sound?
Great.
So we're going to move away from the desk, right? Away towards a point of tangential polarity over here.
David, we're going off mic.
Now speak for yourself. I never liked him in the first place. Now, believe it or not, our most positive position is actually inside this cupboard.
No,
No, I want us to absorb each other's energy and become as one.
Right, well, then you can start by absorbing this little piece of energy.
Oh! So, are you all right? What happened to Davey?
Well, he decided that the optimum alignment was a horizontal one with me in that cupboard.
Not feeling so much positivity now, eh?
Yes. Well, that's probably because I've just realigned his gonads. Now, interior decor is all very well, but for most people there's an even bigger priority. Your house is, of course, the biggest investment you'll ever make. So how do you keep it secure?
And anyway, we took a taxi back from the airport, and when we got home, we found the house had been completely ransacked.
You poor darlings, how completely frightful.
Oh, it was absolutely maddening, especially considering all the precautions we'd taken.
You mean like leaving a light on to make it look like someone's at home?
No, of course we'd done that. But we thought the average burglar probably got wise to that little ploy, so we left all the windows open as well, to make it really look like someone's at home.
And the burglars still weren't taken in?
Apparently not.
What about the burglar alarm?
Oh, come along, Elaine. We're not that silly. Of course we'd turn the alarm off.
You turn it off?
Well, naturally. I mean, let's face it. Having the burglar alarm blaring away would completely give the game away that we weren't there.
Yeah, and besides, there's not much point in having the alarm on when the front door's wide open, is there?
Rather. Why did you leave the front door wide open?
Well, to make it look as if there was absolutely, definitely someone at home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who in their right mind would leave the front door open if they were actually on holiday? Nobody would be that stupid.
But still, the burglars, I think it's quite uncanny.
Well, considering all the precautions you took, I think you can count yourselves damned unlucky.
Yeah.
Did they take much?
Oh, well, all the valuables were scattered around the place to make it look like we're at home.
Most of the furniture. In fact, the only thing they left was the notice saying we're away for a couple of weeks, please help yourself.
Which we've gone to the trouble of pinning to the front door on the basis that nobody would be stupid enough to do that.
Well, you poor things.
Well, we're being philosophical about it, aren't we, Marjorie?
Yeah, well, just goes to show that really, it could happen to anyone.
So, as we've seen, owning a home can have its ups and downs.
Unless you live in a bungalow.
Thank you, sir. But when all is said and done, nothing can compare to the wonderful feeling of being a property owner.
Justin!
Christian!
Thanks for coming.
Not at all, mate. So this is your new place, is it?
That's right.
Very nice. What do you pay for it, if you don't mind my asking?
Not at all. Silly money, really. I paid 180.
Bloody good deal, mate. I tell you what, I'll give you 220 for it right now.
Didn't know you were in the market. Thought you and Julia just bought a new place.
We had. Paid 325 for it just before breakfast. Mm. By lunch, we were being offered silly money for it. We hung out till tea time, but had to let it go for 470.
That's just silly money, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you can't say no to that, can you?
Well, that's right, mate. Same thing happened to the place we had before that one.
Right. I never saw that one, did I?
Neither did we. We got it at... got it at 98 in a falling market, but in the cab on the way around, it was on the radio that the market had turned.
Oh, so what happened?
Well, the cabbie took it off us for 234 before we got there.
Silly money.
Bloody silly money. But you can't turn it down, can you?
Of course you can't.
Yeah.
How is Julia, by the way?
Ah, you haven't heard. We're not together anymore.
Oh, sorry, mate. What happened?
Well, when I married her, I had her valued at 650. Now, I was being offered 970 plus for her. I mean, silly money. What was I going to do?
You can't say no, can you?
No, of course I can't. Going to miss her, though.
Well, sure you are, mate. How are the kids coping?
Oh, well, they're holding up at the moment. Mm. Fluctuating between 220 and 230. But I reckon if I hang out, I should get some silly money for them.
Well, good luck with it, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. So, what are your plans for this place?
Well, I reckon if I do it up, I should get some seriously silly money for
it. Right, right. So what are you going to do to it?
Well, I'm going to push this room back.
Right.
All the interior wall's going to go.
Go.
Floor's being ripped out. Carpet's going to be replaced by plain concrete.
Concrete.
Which is going to extend over the lawn. And I'm going to stick a few more stories on top.
Nice.
Yeah, extend the driveway. Yeah, lose the front door. Replace it with a nice sort of barrier and ticket machine.
Right, so it's going to be less a townhouse and more a...
multi-storey car park, yeah.
Like you're thinking, mate.
Thanks, mate, yeah. I mean, you know, there's still money to be made in houses, but it's not what I'd call...
silly money?
Right.
Right.
It's time for this week's Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue Good Cause, which this week is presented by that woman who... well, I think she was in that sitcom in the 70s with John Alderton. Or maybe it was Jeffrey Palmer.
This is Timmy. Timmy is 4 years old and is prone to temper tantrums. He sulks when he doesn't get his own way. He refuses to go to bed on time. He throws his toys around and enjoys making his little sister cry. In short, Timmy is a little sod. But today, I want you to take a moment to think about Timmy. It's really not his fault. It's his parents. For some reason, they think he's talented and special.
One only has to listen to his interactions with adults to appreciate his precocious communication skills.
That's right. Timmy's intuitive grasp of the English language is simply staggering.
Actually, all he ever says to grown-ups is plop, willy, and bum. I don't think it's clever. You don't think it's clever. In fact, it's just his parents who think it's clever. Which is why this week I'm begging you not to smack children. Smack their parents instead. Thank you.
Now, our final topic today is holidays.
You're listening to Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue.
Yes, in the words of Cliff Richard, bless him, we're all going on a summer holiday. No more worries for a week or two. Fun and laughter on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true. Ooh, ooh.
Now, Cliff chose a big red London bus Eunice Dubs and Melvin Hayes theme for his holiday. But these days, there are lots of different themed holidays to choose from.
However, some of them are not what they seem, as we'll be hearing now from the managing director of McNaught Adventure Breaks.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Sue.
Hello. Now, Mr. McNaught, you started your company 3 years ago, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. I saw how popular the old murder mystery weekends were, and that's really what got me started in my own particular line. I thought to myself... well, why just murder?
Well, quite, yes. It seems from looking at your brochure that you do an arson excursion.
Yeah. Very popular crime, that one is.
Not with the ex-owners of the hotel where you staged it, it wasn't.
They knew what it was all about when they took the booking.
Yeah, I don't think they thought you were actually going to raise their hotel to the ground.
Well, it wouldn't have been much of an arson excursion if we hadn't, would it? There'd have been a lot of dissatisfied customers to deal with.
True, but at least they would still have had a hotel in which to deal with them. And then, what's all this one about? McNaught's Magical Mystery Joyride.
Oh, that one's great fun. We select a bus at random and take it for a little spin in the country.
Well, you may call it a little spin in the country. According to the police, hijacking a municipal vehicle and embarking on a high-speed chase over three counties would be a more accurate description of the proceedings.
It's a holiday. They won't forget in a hurry.
Yes, indeed. And I must ask you about this one, Caribbean Fraud Special.
Well, I've taken a lot of bookings for that.
When does it take place?
It doesn't.
Well, frankly, Mr. McNaught, I'm shocked. We've heard some pretty terrible stories here on Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue, but yours is by far the worst.
That's right, Sue. Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue has always prided itself with our fearless rooting out of deception and fraudulent practice, and I can assure you that the file we put together on Mr. McNaught will be passed on to the relevant authorities.
Well, personally, I don't think that's going far enough.
Sue, look,
I think we should call the police right now and get them to come along down here to the Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue studio before this crook can get away.
Mr. Sue, I really don't think that would be appropriate for
Mike, I'm going to put my foot down. This is what our Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue audience expect from us.
Mike, what's she doing?
It's okay, I'll stop it. Now, really, Sue, I think we should just take a moment here.
What for? The man is clearly a con merchant.
Yes, I know he is.
What?
He isn't what he appears to be.
Mike, what are you on about?
He's a researcher. One of ours.
Ah, well, in that case, thank you for coming in, Mr. McNaught. And don't do it again.
My pleasure.
You're fired. You know, there's never been a wider range of holiday destinations than there are today. Thanks to modern transport, the world is a much smaller place.
You can get from London to Hong Kong in just 12 hours.
London to Sydney in just 20 hours.
And from London to Manchester in about 40 hours if you go by Virgin Trains and you picked a good day.
This means that even the most exotic locations are well within reach.
Oh, hi there. Mind if I join you?
Oh, my God, man, Beth, man, can you believe this? Here we are in a pauper's tea house in the middle of India and we end up sharing a table with an English tourist.
Yeah, it's just so typical.
Well, you're English as well, aren't you?
Yeah, but we're not tourists.
Yeah, we're travellers, right? I mean, there is a difference. I mean, what are you doing here?
Well, I wanted to see a bit of authentic Indian life.
You know? Oh, my God, that is so patronising.
Oh, it's just a voyeur, like intruding on other people's everyday lives.
Oh. I'm sorry. What are you doing here, then?
This is our local, actually.
Yeah, we've come here 3 days running.
We're not just dipping our toes into Indian culture like some namby-pamby mollycoddled tourist, man. We're absorbing it. Yeah.
Right, fine.
Ah, see? Not so keen on authentic Indian life now, are you?
Well, it's just rather, unusual tasting, that's all.
No, it's not. It's horrible. But it's what people drink around here, so that's why we drink it.
Right. Sorry. Suit yourself. Sorry you're having such a bad time.
Whoa, 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 man. Are you accusing us of having a bad time?
Yeah, we're not having a bad time. We're seeing the real India.
The real India.
All right. Well, if you say so. Still, I suppose there's always the Taj Mahal.
The Taj bloody Mahal. That tourist trap. We wouldn't be seen dead there.
Well, must say I think you're missing out.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you? Because you don't know what the real India's like. Right. Bet you haven't even had cholera yet, have you?
Why, have you?
Yeah, of course I have. I've got it at the moment.
Oh, good grief.
No, really, yeah. He's got cholera. Because he's a traveller, you see.
Oh, well. Congratulations.
Yeah, people like you make me sick. You come to India and you don't even get cholera.
But seriously, cholera's fatal. Oh, really? Well, you could die.
Of course I could die. People die all the time. It's the real India, man.
Do you know, it's traditional for some Indian women to throw themselves onto the funeral pyre when their partner's body's burnt, don't you?
Is it?
Mm. Yeah, but we'll be reborn, babe, you know, reincarnated.
Oh, sod that for a lot. Come on, mate, I'm going with you. Bangalore Hilton.
Well, I can't quite stretch to that.
No, don't be silly, I'll put it on Dennis Craig.
You know, that reminds me of a very amusing incident which happened to me once. Because a friend of mine asked if I'd ever been to the Taj Mahal, and I said, actually, I was there last night. Because, you see, the name of my local curry house is actually...
The Bengal Lancer.
Thanks for that, Sue.
My pleasure, Mike. Now, these foreign locations are all very well, but they can cause problems when it comes to the language barrier.
Which is why it's always worth investing a few hours before you go to make sure you'll be understood when you get there.
Do you want to learn 5 new languages in under 10 minutes? Well, you can with Lingua Language Home Learning Cassettes. Just listen and repeat, and you'll be making conversation wherever you go. For example, France.
Where is the post office?
Where is the post office?
Germany.
Where is the post office?
Where is the post office?
Spain.
Where is the post office?
Where is the post office?
Scientific study has shown that traditional phrase books just don't work. For example...
Où est le bureau de poste?
On va tout droit pour 200 mètres, puis c'est à gauche.
What?
See? Once you try to speak their language, you're lost. Which is why the Lingua Language method makes them do the work.
Where is the post office?
Ooh la 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 la, Bobby Charlton, fish and chips. Very good. Just along there on the left, matey girl.
Watch it.
Yes, just listen and repeat. And within 10 minutes, Lingua Language will have you speaking like a native of England.
Now, most of us, when we think of a dream holiday, imagine perhaps somewhere like Tahiti with sun-kissed beaches.
Pretty local girls dressed in nothing but grass skirts.
Gently lapping waves.
Their full, naked bosoms. Bobbing rhythmically.
Sipping cocktails as the sun sets.
Their large, dark eyes seeming to say, come with me. The exchange rate is very good this year. I think it was Samuel Johnson who said, it is better to travel hopefully than to arrive.
Actually, it was Robert Louis Stevenson.
Well, whoever said it, and whatever it was he actually said, there's certainly a lot of truth in it. I remember when I was a child, we always traveled hopefully when we set off on holiday, which was much better than arriving, because we always ended up at the same dreary caravan site near Skegness.
Metaphor for your life, really, Mike. But however fondly or otherwise we remember family holidays, there comes a time when they have to end.
Come on, you two! Wakey, wakey, rise and shine!
Oh, don't be too hard on them, Jerry. They had a long day yesterday.
A long day? What about me, eh? I practically had to drag them up that mountain. I've never seen such a pathetic effort. Now, look, if you two aren't even prepared to make an effort to join in a bit, let's do things as a family, like we used to.
I told you we shouldn't have made them come with us this year.
Because they're too old for this kind of thing, eh? They just want to be with people their own age. I suppose that's it.
Gerald, will you and your sister give us some peace? I'm 86, your mother's 84, and we fancy a lion. Now leave us alone.
Well, that's almost the end of the show, but we couldn't let this special holiday feature pass without hearing from someone who's just been on one.
Ah, that's right, Sue. So here to tell us about his trip is the lucky winner of our Holiday of a Lifetime competition, Simon Fairhurst. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Simon. Now, before we hear about your wonderful holiday in Mauritius, perhaps just for the benefit of our listeners, you'd tell us a little about yourself.
I really don't think we've got time to hear Simon's life history as we're getting near the end of the show.
Well, I think they'd at least be interested to hear what you do for a living, Simon.
Yes, well, I'm the editor of TV Now magazine.
I don't believe it! Well, that is such a coincidence.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Now, Simon, before we go any further, we ought to get one thing absolutely straight. Our being nominated for the coveted TV Now magazine Best Presenter, open brackets, talk, oblique stroke, lifestyle show, close brackets award had nothing to do with the fact that we chose you. I mean, you won our special holiday competition.
Absolutely not, Mike. You were nominated before you asked me to go on this trip.
Exactly. Yes, I'm glad we got that straight.
In fact, I remember it quite clearly because it was the very next day after the nominations were announced that you rang me personally, Mike, to ask me to go on this...
Which is really, really strange because, of course, I didn't actually find out about the nomination for another day or so after that.
Yeah, and the even stranger thing is I didn't even enter the competition in the first place.
Simon, tell us about your holiday.
Well, it didn't get off to a very good start. The plane was 6 hours late, and when I finally got to Mauritius, I found I hadn't been booked into the hotel.
But things picked up after that, eh?
Nope. They got worse. The rep promised me a suitable alternative, but I ended up in some godforsaken flea pit which was doubling as a brothel.
Wow. I mean, that's a disgrace. And I'll be personally following it up with a tour operator.
And to make matters worse, it rained every day.
The food?
I'm only just back on solids.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid we have to leave it there for another week. Many thanks for coming in, Simon.
That's all right. I suppose I'll see you on Thursday week, Sue.
Yeah, great.
Hang on. What's all this about Thursday week?
Well, surely you haven't forgotten the coveted TV Now magazine Best Presenter, open brackets, talk, oblique stroke, lifestyle show, close brackets award?
No, Sue. I think you'll find that on the Saturday.
Yeah, we're talking about the run-through.
The what?
Well, you know, the rehearsal for the big night. So we all know what to do when... Well, I mean, if we win. Either of us. Yeah. That is, you or me.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Well, it's lucky you mentioned that, because I didn't know about it. And really, Simon, you chaps at TV Now should be better organised.
Oh, no, we're perfectly well organised. Don't you worry about that.
You mean... hang on a minute, Simon, come back here.
Come on, Mike, the credits.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Sue.
And this has been Life, Death and Sex.
With Mike and Sue.
Life, Death and Sex with Mike and Sue was written by Hugh Rycroft and David Spicer from a format by Bill Dare. It starred Robert Duncan and Jan Ravens with Roger Blake, Toby Longworth and Emma Kennedy. Music was written by Mark Burton and the producer was Alid Evans.